Believed Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, overflowing with gratitude. Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elemental forces of the world, and not based on Christ. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ, and you have been filled by him, who is the head over every ruler and authority. You are also circumcised in him, with a circumcision not done with hands, by putting off the body of flesh, in the circumcision of the Messiah. Having been buried with him in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead. And when you were dead in trespasses, and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him, and forgave us all our trespasses. He erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us, and opposed to us, and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them. Therefore, don't let anyone judge you in regard to food and drink, or in the matter of a festival, or a new moon, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow of what was to come. The substance is the Messiah. Let no one disqualify you, insisting on ascetic practices and the worship of angels, claiming access to a visionary realm and inflated without cause by his unspiritual mind. He doesn't hold on to the head, from whom the whole body, nourished and held together by its ligaments and tendons, develops with growth from God. If you died with the Messiah to the elemental forces of this world, why do you live as if you still belong to the world? Why do you submit to the regulations? Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. All these regulations refer to what is destroyed by being used up. They are commands and doctrines of men. Although these have a reputation of wisdom by promoting ascetic practices, humility and severe treatment of the body, they are not of any value in curbing self-indulgence.
Well, thank you and hello everyone. It's great to be here this afternoon to be able to open up the Bible with you. I'd love to pray one more time as we look at God's Word, so let's pray. Father, thank you that you speak to us in the Bible. We pray this afternoon that we may understand what you say, that you may give us the power to live out what you say, and that we may spur each other on to do this. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I brought some stuff with me today. And so I would like to bring these things out, and I'm sorry if any of it's too dirty to be on the table up here. Those definitely would be. So I'm going to put four items here, and I want you to think about what do these things have in common. Okay, so there's the first, we'll call that one item even though it's two. There's the second one. Actually, just as an aside, I grew this tree back after it was cut like that, so it was just a stick, and I kept watering it, and it came back. How good's that? So that's the second one. Here's the third one. Okay, and just sort of like use your imagination. Imagine they're like good and not broken. And finally, this one is not a spray can, but actually glue. It's spray adhesive. Any thoughts on what these four items have in common? Yes?
It could be to do with doing a trade.
It could be to do with doing a trade. Okay. What about... They're all broken? Thanks for pointing that out about my shoes. I didn't even think about that. Well, that's not what I was thinking of, but thank you. Any other thoughts? Yes. You can use them outside, correct, that's true as well, but also not exactly what I was thinking of. Any other thoughts? After me knocking so many down, who's going to want to give an answer now? Well, let me tell you what these all have in common. It's that they all appear in verses 6 and 7 of our passage. Well, not exactly, but they represent something which is appearing in verses 6 and 7. Let's read it together. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, there's the shoes, rooted, there's the plant, and built up, there's the bricks, or the pavers, in him, and established, kind of solid, there's the glue, okay? Use your imagination. And established in the faith, just as you were taught, overflowing with gratitude. This is, I think, two of the key verses in Colossians, maybe the two key verses in the whole book. Paul wants Christians to keep going the way that they started. To keep going the way that they started. To continue in faith the way that they started. And the reason for this is that there are actually other ideas floating around in the church, which we can see as we go through this little passage that we've just had read for us. And some of these ideas were threatening to take people away from what they'd believed at the start. So Paul says, keep walking in Christ, keep rooted deep down into Christ, keep being built up in Christ and remain established in Christ. Now I want to take us through three myths that were floating around in the church, and these myths are the reason why this stuff is so important. So myth number one, which I think we see floating around in the church in Colossians, in Colossae, is that human traditions can give you an extra deep relationship with God. Human traditions can give you an extra deep relationship with God. Let's read verse 8 together where we see that coming out. Be careful that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deceit based on human tradition, based on the elemental forces of the world, and not based on Christ. Now this verse is telling us that, what is it saying? Is it saying no Christian should ever read a book, no Christian should ever go to uni and study philosophy, no Christian should ever watch a movie in case there's some sort of different idea in there? Is that what it's saying? Well, I don't think so. I don't think that's what Paul's saying. I think he's talking about some teaching out there around the church which claims to be Christian, but which adds to Christianity by adding in other ideas. So it's like someone saying to you, it's great that you go to youth church. I love that you go to youth church, but you should try my version of Christianity because it might just give you a little bit of something extra on top of what you get at youth church. These teachers around the church are starting to unsettle Christians by promising that they can have more than what they currently have through following things like human tradition. But Paul is coming back at this other teaching and he's saying, I want you to know that you already have everything you need, and it's found where? In Christ. It's found in Christ. Read with me from verse 9. The entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ. Verse 10. And you have been filled by him. That's Christ. Verse 11. And you were also circumcised in him. That's Christ. Verse 12. Having been buried with him, that's Christ, in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God. Verse 13, and when you were dead in trespasses and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, he made you alive with him. Verse 14, he erased the certificate of debt with its obligations that was against us and opposed to us and has taken it out of the way by nailing it to the cross. And verse 15, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and disgraced them publicly. He triumphed over them by him. That's Christ. So Paul says, in Christ, everything is already sorted out. You don't need something extra when you have Christ. I remember once I had a headache, the worst headache of my life. It was a migraine, actually, and I couldn't get rid of it. For 24 hours, I tried to get rid of this headache. I used Panadol, I had water, I had showers, I tried everything, heat packs, trying to sleep, being in a dark room, but nothing happened. This headache stayed with me. And so I was living at home at the time, so my dad said to me, I'll drive you to the hospital. So he took me to the hospital. I had to sit in like a waiting room where there was really bright lights. That wasn't fun. And I was just like, my head was just in my lap. And then eventually the doctor came and he said, we can do something about that. And he gave me some extra strong stuff through a drip in my arm. And the headache went away straight away. It's amazing what doctors can do. Now imagine, I want you to imagine this. Now that my headache is gone, I go back home and my brother says to me, here's some Panadol. Do you want some Panadol? My answer would be, no, I don't need it because my headache is gone. Now it's like that with Jesus. If you are in Christ, if you trust him, then his victory is your victory. His forgiveness of you has been completely won at the cross. Everything's been sorted out through Jesus and what he's done. So there is nothing extra you need. You don't need any human traditions to be added on the top because you already have Christ. So that's why we need the shoes, the plant, the pavers, and the glue. That's why we need to continue to walk in him, rooted and built up in Christ, and established in him. Beginning, continuing, just as you began. So there's myth number one, busted by Paul. Myth number two is this. You can be more spiritual through avoiding certain foods and drinks and by keeping certain festivals and celebrations. That's the next thing we seem to see here. And to understand this, I'd like someone to come and read this letter. Is someone brave enough to come up here and read this out for me? Thank you. Come on up. So this is a letter to the church. And I want you to read this for us, just into the microphone here. If we can get that one on, that'd be really good. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
All right. Dear church, as you know, we're heaps into Jesus. We reckon he's great, but there might be a few things you've missed in your experience as Christians. Number one, you guys need to regularly avoid having food and drink. Starve yourselves. If you do that, you'll feel super close to God. Number two, what's up with you guys not observing festivals? No, I'm not talking about music festivals, but religious ones. Your weekly Sabbath and your new moon festivals. The Jews used to do this. Christians need to as well. Number three, angels. You need to worship angels way more often. It feels really spiritual. Thanks for reading this letter, by the way. Don't forget, we're heaps into Jesus. From your false teacher friend.
There it is. Thank you very much. Okay, so I don't want you to listen to that letter, even though it was read so well. That'd be good if you didn't listen to that today. But that's the kind of thing that was going around in the church in Colossae at the time. People were saying this kind of stuff. They were unsettling the Christians. Now, what's wrong with this? Doesn't this sound kind of okay? You know, they said they love Jesus. Okay, that's pretty good. They said that, you know, they're trying to help the church. Well, this is similar to what we saw with the first myth that was floating around. These people, though, they think that if you treat yourself harshly, if you starve yourself, if you follow religious festivals, you'll be closer to God. But Paul says that's just not true. Now, I remember visiting a country where people practiced Islam. And in this country, every morning a loudspeaker goes off with someone's voice calling the whole city to come and pray. And then later in the day, people have to do certain washings. So you see people constantly washing their arms, their face, their nose, all kinds of washings. People have to pray five times a day. At certain times in the year, people can't eat at all for the Ramadan festival. And so they follow festivals, they follow religious rituals. And it's the same for Jews in Paul's day. they were doing all sorts of festivals and rituals, the Passover festival, other festivals, as ways of pleasing God. And then they rested. They were really harsh about their rest on the seventh day. You couldn't even do anything that was close to work. You had to keep that day really, really free from anything like that in case you offended God in some way. Now, Paul is saying here, you don't need that kind of thing as a Christian. You have Christ already. Why would you wind back the clock to the Old Testament times and practice things that were around for the Jews in the Old Testament? Why would you think that you need to do that stuff? You already have Christ. You have everything that you need. So again, here is why. We need the shoes, the plant, the pavers, the glue. Continue to walk in Him. Rooted, built up in Him, and established in the faith. So that's myth number two. The last myth that was floating around is that, myth three, you can be more spiritual through following certain regulations and rules. Let's read from verse 20. If you died with the Messiah to the elemental forces of this world, why do you live as if you still belong to the world? Why do you submit to regulations? Don't handle, don't taste, don't touch. All these regulations refer to what is destroyed by being used up. They are commands and doctrines of men. Although these have a reputation of wisdom by promoting ascetic practices, humility, and severe treatment of the body, they are not of any value in curbing self-indulgence. Religions back in Paul's day when he's writing this letter, and many religions today, will say you will be more faithful if you can just avoid touching things and eating certain things, and if you can follow a strict set of rules around not being contaminated by stuff. There are lots of rules. Don't eat this, don't taste that, don't touch that, don't do this, don't do that. What about Christianity? Well, Jesus says you can eat food. You can touch things. You can enjoy things in this world. After all, He made it. He's the creator of this world. And so, again, this is why we need these things, to continue to walk in Him, rooted, built up in Him, and established in the faith as you were taught, continuing the way that you began. So how do we do that? This is the big question, isn't it? How do we actually continue the way that we began as Christians? Well, I've got three things to finish us off in terms of how this applies to our lives a little bit. So number one, keep trusting the truth that you've believed about Jesus from the Bible. That might sound really simple, but let me say it again. Keep trusting the truth that you've believed about Jesus from the Bible. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 to 23 explains, and if you want to flick back there just one page or so, it might even be on the same page, this explains what we've come to believe that Jesus has done for us. And we need to keep trusting this and keep believing it. So let's read it together. Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds because of your evil actions, but now He has reconciled you by His physical body through His death to present you wholly faultless and blameless before Him. If indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you heard, this gospel has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become a servant of it. So Jesus' work on the cross took us from being enemies of God, away from God, to being back to God, being forgiven by God, faultless in God's sight. God now looks on us as if we have never sinned because of what Jesus has done. So how do we do that? How do we keep that in mind? How do we keep trusting that? Well, there's a few ways, there's many ways. Let me give you some examples. For me, I used to have a bunch of verses about Jesus stuck up around my room that every morning, first thing I did was read through all of those verses. That was a very helpful way for me to keep myself walking in Jesus, grounded in him, rooted in him. So there's one way you could do that. You could think about Jesus throughout the day. You might be sitting in a class at school. You can think, oh, that's right. Jesus on the cross has brought me back to God. And now I'm completely blameless before God. You can think that thought at any time in your day. You're free to think that. Or you can discuss with other Christians, maybe at school, maybe in the lunchtime Christian group, maybe here at youth church, maybe throughout the week with your friends. You can think about and discuss these things and keep them on the first and foremost in your mind so that you hang on to the truth that you've come to believe about Jesus from the Bible and keep trusting it. How else can we do that? That's the first one. How else can we do this? Number two, don't go looking elsewhere. You don't need it. I would say that the most dangerous person to you as a Christian is not someone who outright says, Jesus is false, Jesus is a liar, Jesus is a lunatic, Christianity is made up. That's not the most dangerous person to your faith. The most dangerous person is the one who comes along and says, yeah, I love Jesus, that's great. But then they just add a little bit extra on top. They say, you just need to do some other things, follow some other rules as well. You just need to follow some other rituals, and then you will be a real spiritual person. You will be a really deep person in God. I remember once I knew a new Christian guy, he'd just become a Christian, and he actually met a group of people who said exactly this to him. They said, Jesus is really good, but come hang out with us. We'll tell you some extra stuff you've just got to do to make sure that you stay really, really deep in your faith. So they gave him much more laws and rules. They gave him regulations, strict codes that he have to abide by, and As far as I know, that man no longer follows Jesus. And I wonder whether it was some of those things that people told him which swept him away from the simple truth of what Jesus has done. And here's the last one of what you can do to keep walking in Jesus, rooted in him, built up, established, is to keep turning back to Jesus. Not yourself when you go off track. Because all of us go off track in life. All of us keep sinning. All of us fall short of how we should live for God. And when that happens, the temptation is to look in at yourself and think, I just need to do better. Or you get down on yourself, oh, how could I do that again? But the thing that we need to do is to turn back, not to ourselves, but to Jesus, to what he's done. And when we fail to have trust in him the way that we should, we need to go back to him and to continue to walk with Jesus as our Lord, built up and established and rooted in him, not in ourselves. Now, one way I think we'll see this is true is whether we're thankful for Jesus. And that's the last thing that I want you to notice here from the second part of verse 7. We'll just take it from the start of verse 6. Therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, overflowing with gratitude. That's the thing. If you're overflowing with gratitude for Jesus, that will mean that you are anchored into him, that you are trusting in him, that your faith's in him, because you're appreciating everything that he's done for you. You've turned back to him and you're thankful for what he's done. You'll be recognizing that Jesus died on the cross to pay the price for your sin, to bring you back to God, and to reconcile you to God forever. That is something incredible, something to be thankful for. And that is exactly what it means to continue in Christ just as you started. Well, how about we pray together about these things and ask for God's help. So please join with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he came for us even when we were helpless in our sins. We thank you that Jesus has done everything necessary to bring us into relationship with you. Please help us to put our trust in him and to remain walking in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, overflowing with thanksgiving to Jesus. And we ask it in his name. Amen.